And when we consider this peace that is necessary because of sin, one of those great thoughts that we need to remember that should guide our thinking is, life is brief and life is short, and we ought not to boast ourselves of tomorrow, as Proverbs 27 says, for we know not what a day may bring forth. Life is frail. Life can be brief. But let us think on the stain of sin. What caused the need for peace? Well, if we notice verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need.
You've been listening to God is Calling You here on Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton. Welcome to our program today. We're delighted that you have taken time to join with us to hear the Word of God, and we trust that it would indeed be a rich blessing to your heart and to your soul. We rejoice in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The existence of his gospel is why we are here and able to preach the Lord Jesus Christ and his cross. We rejoice in the gospel. That is the good news of God. That is what the word gospel means. It is the good news of God for sinners who are dead in their trespasses and sins. Because of our sin, we are separated from God. Because of our sin, There is nothing that we could ever do or accomplish to inherit eternal life. And we rejoice that through the gospel and through the death of Christ, there is peace for us. Peace through the precious blood of the Son of God. Do you know the Savior? Are you trusting in Him? Have you turned from sin and repented? Are you resting in the great finished work of Christ upon the cross? Are you washed in the precious? Oh, that you would make sure that you would know, believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. May the Lord bless His word today as we go to our pulpit in Cloverdale, considering the message, Peace with God through His blood. Romans chapter 5, and we'll commence our reading at the first verse. The Word of God says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Amen, and may the Lord bless the reading of His precious word. I want to draw your attention to the first verse, Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. 110 years ago, war commenced in Europe, and it raged across that continent for 4 long years. In September 1918, the German Supreme Army Command informed the Kaiser that Germany's military situation was hopeless. On the 11th of November 1918, at 11 a.m., the armistice terms came into force. These terms included the ceasing of hostilities, the withdrawal of German troops behind the Rhine, the Allied occupation of the Rhineland, the preservation of infrastructure, the surrender of military equipment, the release of prisoners of war, and the eventual reparations for the cost of the war. And the German nation had to pay and had to give regarding the losses in the war. There was one of the liner companies, one of the companies that sent ships back and forward across the Atlantic Ocean, and they had suffered losses with the Lusitania during the First World War as well. The White Star Line, known for the Titanic, the Titanic's sister ship, the Britannic, was sunk because of the war, and there were reparations made. German liners were given to these companies as a result of these war reparations. But peace, the peace that came, was welcomed across the nation. There were Thanksgiving services being held in churches across Britain and other nations.
But that peace was not to last, as a soldier from the German army by the name of Adolf Hitler began over time to stir up hostilities again, leading to another war from 1939 to 1945. This world desires peace, and in wartime, peace is desirable. But instead of peace, chaos reigns. And we find in this world that men desire to satisfy themselves. They desire to find peace in the pleasure crazes of this sinful world, but to no avail. And the Word of God tells us that the pleasures of sin last but for a season. There is a limit placed upon them. Dear unbeliever, today you need to understand that. Dear young person, you need to understand that. There are many things in this world that are enticing, but they last for a season. There's no real satisfaction. They are limited. And their satisfaction, their joy is fleeting. It passes away. Men desire peace in life. They desire a peaceful life, but yet there is no true peace found outside of Christ and His gospel. And when we think of that peace that came into being, and that peace on November the 11th, 1918, we're reminded of that great peace that comes from the Lord. The book of Romans has much to say about man and his gospel. Robert Haldane was an old preacher who preached this book to students in Geneva, and a revival broke out amongst them. And he said that in this chapter, the apostle describes those things that are blessed, those things that come with salvation, the security and the foundation of justification, those things that come alongside being justified. And we find in verse 1 that the apostle says, therefore, being justified by faith. That word therefore is used by the apostle often. And we find a principle here. The Christian life is a way of logic. It's based and founded upon the truths in Scripture. Paul in chapter 4 has dealt with those truths. He's dealt with justification and the love of God. And now he comes in chapter 5 and he says, therefore being justified by faith. Therefore because of justification. Because of what Christ has done, founded upon the finished work of Christ, because of the truth of that doctrine, there is then a practical application. It is not a dry doctrine. It is not a cold doctrine. It's not a doctrine that does not matter to the Church of Christ. Rather, it is something that has a great and powerful effect. And this is what he does here. He brings out what our practice should be. He brings out the consequence of this doctrine. There's a connection to things previously said regarding salvation. And one of those things that accompanies salvation and justification is mentioned in verse 1. The apostle says, therefore being justified by faith, because of justification. Here's the consequence, and here's the application to you and I. We now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is peace with God. There is peace with the Savior. Romans 15, verse 33 tells us, now the God of peace be with you all. And this word peace is something that is a vital word, a vital doctrine of the Christian message. It's not a false peace. We're not like those here who cry out, peace, peace, when there is no peace. But the peace that is found in the gospel of Christ, it's a real peace. It's a lasting peace. It is not a false hope. It is a real peace. Often, the child at school can get into trouble with another person. Maybe they're bullied. Maybe there's some fighting going on. The teacher finds out. The two are brought together, and the teacher has in their mind a very simple solution. Apologize, say sorry, shake hands, all is well. But it's not really, because all the children have done is they've just done what the teacher said to get out of the teacher's office, to not get into trouble, and as soon as they leave, well, life continues as normal. There's still this conflict between them. There's no peace. Not a lasting peace. But the peace of God is something that brings a pure peace. In Romans 10, Paul speaks about the preacher. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Our gospel is a gospel of peace. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Spiritual peace is an evidence of faith. Do you have peace within your soul today? Can you cry out, yes, when I think of that spiritual battle between Christ and Satan, when I think of our sin and our iniquity, my sin, my vileness and my corruption, my nature that is at war against God, there is peace because of Christ. Some wrongly believe there is peace between God and all the religions of men. Every religion has its own path that leads to God. It's as if you want to go into Vancouver. There's different ways that you can go. And every single way, it brings you to Vancouver. You might go this way, across this bridge, or this tunnel, or go the other way. You might go a longer way. It still brings you into the city. And men think that way about the gospel of Christ, about the God in heaven. These different paths, these different religions, it's a different road to salvation. It's a different road to peace. But it's the lie of the devil. As the apostle says here, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hang on a second, Paul. You need to open up a little bit. What about these other religions? What about these other faiths and practices that don't talk about being justified by faith and having peace with God? We need to know about them too. Here's the perfect place. Write it in. Tell us of these other faiths and religions, of how we can have peace with God. You know why he says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know why he writes that and nothing else? Because there is nothing else to write. That is how we have peace. Through Christ and through him alone. And the primary purpose of the gospel is to reconcile us to God. And there is one way. That peace that we can have in our soul, it comes from Christ alone. And there are those that wrongly believe that there's peace with God through other means. There is an end result of no true peace. A lost eternity in hell. The Word of God says, Isaiah 48, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. No peace. No peace. I want us to consider then today peace with God through the gospel. Peace with God through the gospel. We enjoy a peace today. We remember those who died to bring us a national peace, what we could term a physical peace in many ways. But there is a greater peace. The peace of God, peace with God through the gospel. And notice firstly that this peace is necessary because of sin. This peace is necessary because of sin. Why is Paul speaking about peace for those who are justified? Well, because those who are not justified do not have peace. They are enemies to God. There is no blessing from God without peace and reconciliation. We have no access to God without peace. And the apostle speaks to the Corinthians and talks about Christ reconciling us to God. We're reconciled to God through Christ. There is peace. He writes to Timothy and speaks about the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came and stood between us and God and brought us together. Those who believe in Him and trust in Him are brought nigh to God through Christ. There is peace through Christ. And this peace is needful because of sin. We need to remind ourselves that life is short. The Word of God says it is a vapor that will one day vanish away. Our lives are frail. There is a brevity there. And we're reminded of that at this time of year, because those who died in the wars of last century were not just the veteran soldiers who were 70 and 80 years of age. They were not on the battlefield. It was the young men conscripted at 18 years of age. It was young men who wanted to fight for their country and they lied about their age. And they died long before they reached the age of 18. Life is short. Life is short. Maybe we could trace our families back, our family tree back, to those who died in the war, reminding ourselves of great, great relatives. I have a great-great-uncle who died on the second day of the Battle of the Somme, a very famous battle associated in Northern Ireland with the 36th Ulster Division. Many men went across to fight for king and country, and they were sent over the enemy lines at the Somme, known as the Battle of the Somme, the 1st of July, 1916. He lasted, it is believed, to the 2nd of July, and lost his life. But many of the men, they went over the top, and there was no hope. Life was brief. They were just led to the slaughter. Thousands and thousands and thousands of young men. War is horrific. War is horrific. I remember as a teenager being fascinated with war and the story of World War II, and still am. But something I learned during those teenage years, war is horrific. We should be thankful in the peace that we have. But young men lost their lives. Their lives were brief and short. But in reality, all of our lives are brief and short. And when we consider this peace that is necessary because of sin, one of those great thoughts that we need to remember that should guide our thinking is, life is brief and life is short, and we ought not to boast ourselves of tomorrow, as Proverbs 27 says, for we know not what a day may bring forth. Life is frail. Life can be brief. But let us think on the stain of sin. What caused the need for peace? Well, if we notice verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The fall and Adam's sin have been passed to us. We are reminded of that in verse 6, for when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And the stain of sin, that unrighteousness, that rebellion against God, being dead in trespasses and sins, it led to us being without strength. There was no spiritual strength. There was no ability to change our spiritual state. It could not be done. For when we were yet without strength, Paul says, there was a time because of sin. And every sinner is affected by this. There is no spiritual strength and nothing that can be done to redeem. We sin against God. That makes us weak. That makes us sinners.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon brings us today to Isaiah 44 verse 3. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. When a believer has fallen into a low, sad state of feeling, he often tries to lift himself out of it by chastening himself with dark and doleful fears. Such is not the way to rise from the dust, but to continue in it. As well chain the eagle's wing to make it mount, as doubt in order to increase our grace. It is not the law, but the gospel which saves the seeking soul at first, and is not a legal bondage, but gospel liberty, which can restore the fainting believer afterwards. Slavish fear brings not back the backslider to God, but the sweet wooings of love allure him into Jesus' bosom. Are you this morning thirsting for the living God, and unhappy because you cannot find him to the delight of your heart? Have you lost the joy of religion? And this is your prayer: restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Are you conscious also that you are barren, like the dry ground, that you are not bringing forth the fruit unto God which he has a right to expect of you, that you are not so useful in the church or in the world as your heart desires to be? Then here is exactly the promise which you need. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. You shall receive the grace you so much require, and you shall have it to the utmost reach of your needs. Water refreshes the thirsty. You shall be refreshed. Your desires shall be gratified. Water quickens sleeping vegetable life. Your life shall be quickened by fresh grace. Water swells the buds and makes the fruits ripen. You shall have fructifying grace. You shall be made fruitful in the ways of God. Whatever good quality there is in divine grace, you shall enjoy it to the full. All the riches of divine grace you shall receive in plenty. You shall be, as it were, drenched with it. And as sometimes the meadows become flooded by the bursting rivers, and the fields are turned into pools, so shall you be. The thirsty land shall be springs of water. Thank you for joining with us today and Let the Bible Speak, and we trust the message from God's Word has indeed been a blessing to your heart and to your soul. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we are also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.